Hey everybody, it's Bob here with a special announcement about our next live panel. It shouldn't come as any surprise, but we will be heading back to the Portland Retro Gaming Expo, and yes, of course, Portland, Oregon, for another live Retronauts panel. PRGE happens from Friday, October 18th to Sunday, October 20th, but our panel will be at 9 p.m. on Saturday in Auditorium A, and the topic will be when celebrities and video games collide. It's going to be a fun late night panel, and we'll have tons of amazing clips of some of the worst celebrity appearances in video games and a few of the best. Again, that is happening at 9 p.m. on Saturday, October 19th at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo in Auditorium A. But we recommend you stay for the entire weekend and enjoy the fun festivities of PRGE. Thanks again for listening, and we'll let you get back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
This week in Retronauts, bass continues not to be a fish.
Oh my goodness.
You like that one, Nadia?
Yes, I am shocked, but yes.
All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Retronauts. And on this episode, Nadia Oxford is a guest. Nadia, please explain to us that reference I just made. This is the humiliation you have to endure for being on the show.
This is my passage, my token that I give to the ferryman.
Exactly.
I actually, many years ago, wrote fan fiction for Mega Man. And I wrote a lot of fan fiction that, like, got me a lot of friends I still talk to. It got me a husband, so I can't complain about it too much. But it continues to be really bad, and I am ashamed but kind of thrilled at how it led me in a way to write for as a career, because fan fiction, even though it can be horrible, it is a good practice for writing.
Yeah, I didn't know you met your husband via fan fiction.
Yes, fan fiction, and I ran a Mega Man fan site at the time, and he was like a fan.
I feel like that's how I got to know you too. So your involvement in the Mega Man community is valuable, and that's why you're here on this episode, because we're going to talk about the latest episode or the latest installment of Mega Man. But first, I'm Jeremy Parrish, co-host of Retronauts and host of this episode, and with me opposite.
Hey, it's Bob Mackey. I'm terrible at this game.
Hey, me too.
So bad.
Yeah, wow. Mega Man 11, as of this recording, came out about 2 months ago, and we wanted to do another one of those episodes where we look at a series that has been around for a long time and say, how has this latest entry, how does it reflect, you know, the legacy of this series? And boy, that's a great question, really, when you stop and ask about it. So this episode originally was going to be done sort of officially with Capcom. I was working with PR and the Mega Man community manager to put together an episode where, you know, some Capcom folks would come on the show and we'd talk about, you know, the game and kind of, you know, the roots of it and everything like that. But then the PR person I was working with and the community manager left, like, at the same time. They left the company. And so the replacements were like, no, let's not do this.
The Iron Curtain came down on Retronauts.
You know, I was offended, but ultimately it's okay, because it would have been a really awkward episode, because now that I finally had a chance to sit down and play Mega Man 11, I really don't like it. And it would have been me just like sitting here spitting in their faces for an hour and a half, and that's never good. So
I could have done a Monster Hunter episode after that to make them feel better.
Yeah, right.
Because I love that game.
Yeah, right. Or something. Or get Alex and Neil on here to do a Resident Evil episode. I don't know. But I am really profoundly disappointed with Mega Man 11, and I feel like I do need to give it another chance, but I've finally had a chance to sit down and really give it some serious time in preparation for this episode, and it's just not what I want at all, and I'm really let down, and I don't feel like it's one of those things where it's like, you know, oh, this game isn't for me, because I feel like it is supposed to be for me, and I feel like if I were someone who didn't know Mega Man and came into this game as my introduction to the series, I wouldn't be like, this series is so cool. I'd be like, oh, well, this is kind of generic, and why did it cost so much, and it just seems so cheap, and I don't want to play this anymore. Mega Man's stupid. And then I'd go play as Mega Man in Smash Brothers and be like, why can't it be like that? So anyway, that's my perspective on things. What is your feeling about the game, Nadia? You're more embedded into the Mega Man scene than I am, so maybe you can see a spark of something that I'm missing.
I actually reviewed the game for US Gamer, and I'm kind of the opposite. I really enjoyed it. I know that Kat didn't like it very much, so you might be in good company there, although I think her bias is more like she doesn't like the graphics, which are those 2.5D quote-unquote sprites that they use. But it's funny. I felt like, yes, it was kind of the same and yet quite different, because I gave it a high score because I felt like, okay, there's probably more they could have done with this game in terms of experimentation. Like, you could have had the branching paths of Mega Man 6, or, you know, you could have had the dog robot stages you got in Mega Man 3, but in terms of...
Or, like,
of,
the good level design of other games? Any other game?
Mm.
I thought I enjoyed the level design.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
It's funny that you say that, because I felt like, okay, I am making a return to Mega Man. I have the... you have your classic ice stage, for example. I liked some of the gimmicks in the stages, except for, I'll give you...
Oh, God.
What was the name?
Bounce Man? Bounce Man?
You know what's
Bounce
funny about
fucking Man?
Whoa, Jeremy's dropping F-bombs.
I hate that stage so much.
That stage is... I was very angry at that stage either. Just there, having... Yeah, like,
there is one room in Bounce Man stage that, like... I keep getting hung up in this one corner where you have, like, no control over yourself. And every YouTube video I have watched, people get hung up in that same corner. It's just like, how is this not caught in testing? But okay, I don't want to be, like, super negative, because I don't hate the game. It's just that there are some parts of it that are really frustrating. But please, keep going. What do you feel is the worst gimmick?
I didn't like Bounce Man stage myself, although, okay. You know, who did love it was Pro Jared. I was watching him play through Mega Man 11, and he really enjoyed it. And I was like, yay, I'm bouncing around. It's like, okay, dude, you do you. I did not like...
Yeah, but I mean, streamers are all, like, hopped up on guarana and cocaine and stuff. Like,
that's true.
They have to be so full of drugs in order to keep streaming and be on for 14 hours a day that nothing they say can be trusted. Like, they're in, like, a hallucinatory state. I say that out of a place of love and concern. Like, hey, you're probably streaming from America, which means you don't have access to affordable health care. You gotta take care of yourself.
Red Bull is anyway.
Get a better coffee can to pee in. At least use a bedpan. I do want to point out that
serious streamers use catheters.
That is true. Ew. Yeah, that should be a T-shirt. Serious streamers use catheters. I feel that I want to cut off any sort of feedback at the pass here. That I want to let people know. It's like Jeremy and I don't like Mega Man. So the reason we don't like Mega Man 11 is not because we're bad at games. I just want to say that up front.
You're gonna hear it anyway.
Because I'm gonna hear it anyways. But people are sometimes offended when you don't like a game because you feel like it's too difficult. And I don't understand that. I mean, all of our skills are different, but I feel like I've been playing games long enough. I should be able to beat a video game if I sit down and play it. I finished all the Souls games, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I mean, I have been playing Mega Man since the original game.
Yes,
and I have good reflexes for Mega Man. That is, like, one of the series that I'm highly tuned to. And this game just doesn't work the same way that other Mega Man games do. It's like, you know, I had a tough time with Mega Man 9 and 10, but the entire time I was like, yeah, cool, all right. Like, I feel like it's you know, very, very authentic to Mega Man, but it's challenging me in new ways within that context. But here, like, everything just feels kind of off, and none of my responses and reactions quite work right. So I end up just kind of slogging through the stages by buying lots of extra lives and E-tanks, which that's not how I want to play. Like, I want to, I don't know. I watched some streams of people, like, playing and not taking any damage, and, like, I feel like, yeah, okay, there is something good here, but I haven't been able to access that somehow. It, like, my Mega Man, my 30 years of Mega Man experience somehow are not helping me with this 30th anniversary Mega Man game. So what's up with that?
I don't know. It's funny. I just fell right into it. Like, even when I was just playing the demo at PAX, I was like, oh, okay, this feels very familiar. And even the woman who was overseeing the booth was like, wow, you're doing really well.
They're not paid to say that. No offense. They say that to me, too, and I'm like, you're lying through your teeth. God damn it.
You're lying, lying. But I just kind of fell right into it. What difficulty were you planning on?
I started with the normal difficulty. Standard.
Too.
So yeah, the thing about Mega Man 11 is that it is designed to be kind of accessible, and I appreciate that. There are four difficulty levels, and the standard difficulty is one notch below the highest. So it's tuned toward like people who have a lot of experience with Mega Man. So I felt like I should have been able to jump in and just be like, yeah, crush it. But I didn't. And there are a few things, you know, a few explanations that I have for that. And I'm sure, like, again, you know, people will, as Bob said, will listen to this episode and say, oh, well, you guys just suck.
Yeah.
And maybe it's true. Maybe I'm old now and I'm no longer good at video games. Although, again, my Mega Man reflexes are still great because Bob watched me tear through Mega Man 2 at a bar. I was drunk.
That is true. Wild drunk.
I destroyed Mega Man 2 without even using a continue. And it was the Japanese version, thank you, as Rockman, not the American version where normal is like baby easy.
Yeah, Jeremy knows how to play Mega Man.
Yeah,
yeah. So, although you have to consider that we have, both you and I, have a great deal of muscle memory for the old games. And Mega Man 11, yes, it is. It does feel different, but I don't think that's a bad thing. But continue.
Right, again. But like I said, when I jumped into Mega Man 9 and 10, like that translated right over. And for some reason, it just didn't with me. And maybe the problem is that I'm playing on Switch. And, you know, the Mega Man Legacy Collections have a lot of lag. Mega Man X Legacy Collection has a lot of lag on Switch. So maybe Mega Man 11 has lag on Switch, and that's what's killing me.
I'm
maybe
playing
I
it
should
on,
have played a different system.
I'm playing on PS4, and I'm having the same problems you are. Mm. So,
that's funny. Because I know I had lag on the demo, but I didn't have any lag when I played on PS4 and Switch. And I prefer PS4 because I prefer the controller for action games.
Me too.
Of course.
I'm using the Hori D-pad, so even that's not an excuse.
Moving on up in the world, Parrish.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I bought that D-pad specifically for this game. I was like, I'm not going to play Mega Man without a proper D-pad. Those separated circles, I get why Nintendo did that, but give us a real D-pad, Reggie. Come on.
That should have been the reveal instead of Joker. Just kidding.
Exactly. We have a D-pad. D-pad smashes in. Yeah.
That could be a new character. It's later on the notes, but I can talk about my biggest issue with the game as long as we're just dumping right now.
I feel like we've dumped too much.
Okay.
At the start.
Okay.
So
it's okay to like the game. It's okay to like the game.
Take a deep breath. Step back. I'm going to play this game some more because, like I said, watching the expert play videos of this, I'm like, I should be able to do that. So I want to get to a point where I can. But right. I do have like some genuine objective design issues with the game that I feel like are not just a matter of me being grumpy, but a matter of like it's the year 2018 and people shouldn't be doing some of these things now. But we'll get into that. And we will talk about the good intentions behind Mega Man 11 because I think it does come from, like, I feel like the creators' hearts were in the right place. They just, for whatever reason, didn't quite touch my heart the way that I wanted. And that makes me sad in this season of giving.
I'm sorry to hear that.
All right, so Nadia, why don't we talk a little bit about kind of like the history of Mega Man games and our own experiences with the series. I feel like, you know, not just to get the bona fides, but just to kind of say, like, what is it we like about these games? So why don't you go first? Why don't you tell us how you first encountered Mega Man?
I actually started with Mega Man 3 because I got my NES a little bit later than most people, and I bought a lot of used games, and I saw Mega Man 3 for sale at a store for like $0 practically. Mm. I said, oh, okay, I'll grab
that. Yeah, you saw that cover and you were like, man, that robot is shooting the other robot in the crotch. That is cool.
That's a winner in my book.
I should call him Crotch Man.
Shot in the crotch.
I fought him, yeah.
But so I picked that up and I took it home and I really, really loved Mega Man 3, of course. And then I went to Mega Man 4 and then I went to 5 and then I went back to 2. So that was very interesting because a lot of people, of course, they start with 2 and they progress from there. I love Mega Man, but the series that's closest to my heart is definitely Mega Man X. So
and there is a little bit of Mega Man X in 11. Like there are parts of it, especially like Impact Man's his power.
Yes.
Like it's extremely like air dashing. So I can definitely see why a Mega Man X fan would be drawn to 11 for sure.
Yeah, it's actually funny because I will just say right out right here, right now, and condemn myself. I do not find Mega Man 9 very fun.
Hmm.
I love Mega Man 9 so much, but okay, it's fair.
I'm conflicted about it. I do like it for a lot of reasons, but I also feel like it's it doesn't really get the point in some ways.
Yeah,
really? Like I was. See, I feel like I feel the. Okay, go ahead.
It's okay.
Yeah, because I was playing. Oh, sorry, Val. I didn't mean to talk over you there.
Oh no, I my point's very short. Just like I feel like it was the point it missed was like Mega Man games were never this difficult.
Exactly.
I want to say like that. Yes. That was my overall point. And just like once you get to Wily stages or whatever, I remember just saying, seeing that like you had to now do like resource management, where it's just like you need to use all of these powers in this way, and if you don't, you're kind of screwed. That's just what I remember about the game. And it's been a decade, so I could be a little off, but I just remember like, boy, these games were never really this tough. And that's what I took away from it. But I did enjoy the spirit of it.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's what I enjoyed about Mega Man 9, because I felt like it was a game for people who had been playing Mega Man a long time, and it gave you all the same tools, like, you know, the same kind of video game vocabulary, and then kind of like would then twist things against you and upset your expectations. And so as someone who has several Mega Man games just like permanently etched into the circuits of my brain, like you could take a piece of my brain out and use it as a Mega Man ROM in an NES. Please don't do that. Like to me, it was really fun and interesting because it was like, I know how everything is supposed to work, and then it works a different way and it surprises me, but it never felt like cheap. But on the other hand, I could definitely see where, you know, if you're not kind of coming at it from that approach, from that angle, where you would just be like, what the hell is this game? This pisses me off so much. And I think that's totally fair. Like, I can see why people don't like that game, but I really loved it.
9 never felt cheap in the way that 11 often feels cheap and fair. 9, when I died, I knew it was my fault, but I was like, oh, this is really tough.
Yeah, 9,
I knew what I had to do.
9 kind of reminds me of the DS remake of Final Fantasy IV, where it's tuned like crazy difficult in a way that, again, subverts your expectations, because, you know, that was a game that was designed for people who had played Mega Man or Final Fantasy IV a million times and knew how every battle went, knew all the best strategies. So it was built around those expectations, and then it would do something to counter your common tactics. Like it was created by people who were like, we know how people play these games and we know kind of the patterns they get into, and we're going to use that against them and force them to come up with new strategies and not be able to just coast on things they've been doing for 20 years. And, you know, that's a dangerous gambit in game design. And I can totally understand and respect when people are like, no, that's not cool. But, you know, when it comes to a game that I know intimately, I find it interesting to have that happen, you know, to have my expectations inverted and used as a weapon against me. So, like, I really enjoy both of those games kind of on the same level.
The thing is, like, I really enjoy Final Fantasy IV DS because, as you say, it just kind of surprises you. Like, for example, the Antlion fight, where suddenly the counters, the counters work totally different. But the thing about Final Fantasy IV is, like, okay, you find out what the pattern is, the new pattern is, and you adapt to that. I feel like Mega Man 9, like I was watching Anthony John Agnello play it in a stream recently, and we were talking as he was playing, and he was just dying all over the place, and then you have to, like, go back to start, and it was just, I don't know, as Bob said, it was just, I don't remember Mega Man games being that hard, and
they weren't.
Yeah, I know, but they just, I don't think, I feel like it wasn't as like fun to learn the new patterns, that's what I'm saying, the way it was in Final Fantasy IV DS.
I didn't give 10 much of a chance, and I'd love to play it. I love to play a lot of games, but I wonder if 10 is different than 9 in that respect, if they eased up a bit. Did you guys play 10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually came down too hard on 10 in my review of it for 1UP. I was pretty negative on it. Because it didn't do the surprising things that Mega Man 9 did, I felt like, well, you know, they said let's do something totally different and surprising with Mega Man 9. Let's you know, kick players in the butt. And then Mega Man 10 was more like, here is, you know, like Mega Man 5 or 6. Like, this is a very sort of comfortable, like, you know how everything is going to work kind of game. And it just didn't feel as inspired to me. But in hindsight, I was mean. I was also too hard on Mega Man 8 when it first came out, and now I realize that game is beautiful, and aside from a few sequences that are stupid, jump, jump, slide, slide, it's a really nicely made game.
I wonder if you're going to look back on Mega Man 11 and feel the same way.
I don't know. I have to give it another chance.
Because I don't think there's anything in Mega Man 11 that matches the frustration of jump, jump, freaking slide, slide.
I disagree. I feel like the whole game is is like patterned after jump, slide, slide.
There are a surprising amount of sequences that do remind me of that, which I found alarming.
Like, it's really interesting you say that, Nadia, because as I was playing, like, I kept coming across places where I was like, I really feel like they took the worst parts of Mega Man 8 and were like, let's do this as a full game. And that was not what I was in this business for sure.
I see where you're coming from, because I'm trying to remember the name of the fiery fellow. Was it Torchman? You're probably thinking of the firewall near the end of the stage.
There's that, but then you also have
there's a Blockman stage like that.
Yeah, it's the grinders and Blockman stage, and then there's like the skull wall in Dr. Wily's stage.
Oh, that was pretty cool. Here's the thing about Mega Man 11.
They look cool, but it's the same thing every time, and I can deal with that, but then they keep doing it. They keep trotting it out.
Well, I think the thing with Mega Man 11, and this is a valid criticism or a compliment to the game, depending on how you look at it, but they really want to learn how to use that speed gear. Mm-hmm. And some people, I understand, are going to buck against that, because, of course, that is not part of Mega Man. That is a very new mechanic, and whether or not you think that belongs there. Like Kat, for example, says she feels like it just breaks up the whole sequence of like a good flowing Mega Man action game. And
no,
I feel
it really gets back to the NES days where the game just slowed down. And yes, you were like, oh, I can dodge a little more easily. But yeah, we can talk about the speed gear and power gear later. But yeah, go ahead. What did Kat say?
Oh, she was just saying that, like saying how I don't play a Mega Man game to slow things down, basically. But again, as you said, on the NES days, that was kind of...
Yeah, the NES used to do that for us.
Yeah, it used to do that for us. Here you go.
Yeah, so that is an interesting observation, and I think there is some truth to it, and that's maybe part of my frustration. But Bob, how did you first come into playing Mega Man games? You're not someone who talks about them a lot, but I know you have experience with them.
Oh yeah, I think I finished all of the NES ones except for like the first game, because I find that way too difficult.
It's a bit of a bitch,
especially the Yellow Devil. I've never figured him. I mean, I know it's a pattern, but it's just a pattern I can't get. But I think it was, and if you're of this era, you know what I'm talking about, the Nintendo Power Spread for Mega Man 2. Mm-hmm. That got me way into the idea of Mega Man. So I played 2 first, and then I played 1. I rented it. I mean, because of course the box art did not let me think I would enjoy it in any way. But yeah, like 3 definitely I think I spent the most time with. And after that, I just rented and finished the rest of them. And I was a big fan of X. And after that, I just sort of dabbled in, you know, X2, X3, X4. And yeah, that's sort of where my love petered out. And of course, I love Legends a lot. That's a way different series, though. But in terms of traditional Mega Man, basically up through the earlier X games, I was a big fan in playing all of them. And I tried playing Zero. Zero was a little too tough for me. Again, I'm a huge baby. Please make fun of me. But yeah,
I mean, Zero is more than any other game in the series, even 9, designed to be just like destroy you.
Yeah, like I love those games in theory. And my friends Nick and Chris Daniel, they are like super masters at those games. I would just watch them play them to be amazed. But that's sort of where it ends for me. And I did love 8. I did love 8, and I did like 9. And I wanted to play 10, but yeah, that's basically my experience. I wouldn't call myself a super fan, but I do have an affinity for Mega Man. And I want to say 3 is probably, I'm most sentimental about 3.
Yeah, me too. So you passed, Bob. You passed, you passed the test.
I just like the robot dog.
That was a test. And
Rush.
You
we had my German Shepherd was named Rush.
It's adorable.
Did he have a spring on his back?
No, although it's funny, whenever someone, whenever we said, our dog is named Rush, and if someone asked that, we knew, you're okay, you're in the front.
Yeah, I know I've talked about how I played Mega Man, but, you know, I started with the very first one because I was excited by that Nintendo Power Spread about Mega Man 2, but it was still a few months out. And I was like, I need some of that crack in my veins now. So I managed to find, I think, like the last copy of the original Mega Man that was on sale in the city I lived in. And it was at the back corner of a Walden Software where no one ever bought NES games. So I bought that despite the terrible box art that had caused me to overlook the game many times, and immediately really liked it. And it, you know, it took me it was a summer break, so it took me like four or five days to beat it. And I did use the pause trick on the Yellow Devil for, you know, the first time through. But, you know, I've played that one enough that I can do the Yellow Devil pattern without cheating now. So I did like in Mega Man 11 that the Yellow Devil uses the same pattern. Yes. It's like, so my muscle memory actually does work there. That was kind of a nice thing. And this time you have a slide, so you can slide under some of them. So it changes up the rhythm of it a little bit. But yeah, like ever since then, I have a sickness and I play every Mega Man game. There's a handful that I haven't touched, like Super Adventure Rockman for Saturn, which was an FMV game done entirely in Japanese. And like there was a strategy game in China or something.
Oh, and, interesting.
I think I skipped I played one of the Star Force games, but not all of them.
Yeah, I played one.
ZX, is that a thing?
Yes.
Okay.
I played that.
Yeah, those are kind of Metroidvania-ish.
I like those.
But not in a great way, but yeah, like the second one was different. They were interesting and weird and enjoyable. So I'm glad those existed.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so I have played a lot of Mega Man games through the years, and so I came into 11 with, you know, set expectations, and maybe that's working against me. Maybe that's a big part of why I kind of bounced off the game, but again, like, I just kind of have preconceptions about what Mega Man is, and that's the challenge
that's
of being
fine,
a fan of something for a long time. Like, you kind of expect certain things, and... you know, it's not like I'm angry about the game because it empowers women or minorities or something. I'm not like a Star Wars fan or something.
Splash Man forever. Splash Man.
They're going to call it Mega Person next.
So, there's stuff I like about the game, but I'm a little iffy on it. But
how
we should talk about... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, how do you feel about, like... one thing I really loved about it above Mega Man 9 in particular is how much character the graphics had. Like Mega Man 9, I feel like going back to what Bob was saying about how Mega Man games weren't this hard, I also feel like they weren't that bland looking. Mega Man 4 and 5 in particular had some really good backgrounds for the NES, and Mega Man 9 just kind of opted for just mostly black, stark backgrounds. I know that's a very small thing to kvetch about, but it just... That did kind of grate on me back in the day, and so I was glad to see, like, Mega Man 11 had, like, for example, you were fighting that kind of Phoenix boss midway, and you would see in the background, like, Meatools around a campfire. Like, I thought that was just freaking adorable.
Yeah, there are really great backgrounds in Mega Man 11, and one of the things I put in my notes is that many of the new enemy designs are really good. They have a lot of personality. And that's something, like, you know, if you look at the new Super Mario Brothers series, the new enemies they've created for those games are so insipid and dull.
They're just like Rorschach tests floating around.
Yeah, it's like... It's like just because you made your 2D game with polygons doesn't mean it needs to look boring. Like we've moved beyond 1996, folks. It's okay. But they did a really great job of designing entirely new enemies that have a lot of personality. Like, I think my favorite enemies in the game are in Torchman's stage. There's those little mushrooms that walk around with kind of like this frown on their face, and they're torches also. So they're like setting fire to things. So they have a flame on top of their heads, and for one thing, those are used in an interesting way. Like, there's some places where they're used as like obstacles, and there's another place where they're walking below you, so they become like chafing candles. So they're like heating up the floor underneath you as they walk. So there's a lot of cleverness about that. But just the design of the mushrooms is so good because they're like grumpy as they walk along. But then if you snuff their flame, their expression changes and they have like this worried expression, like, oh my God, what happened to my fire? Where's my fire? And it's just like there's a lot of personality. Also, the spiders that you see in Torchman stage, Acid Man stage, a few other levels, they have like these little kind of like smiley expressions on their faces, but their faces never invert, but their bodies do. So they're like their bodies rotate around and they spawn little baby spiders. There's just a lot of like nice detail that they took advantage of the HD nature of this game. You know, it's the first high definition Mega Man game as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
And so it's the first one where they could really get that kind of fine detail in there. And, you know, I do like most of the boss designs. Impact Man is maybe a little too Optimus Prime. I mean, come on, guys. I see what you're going for there. But otherwise, yeah, the boss designs generally look pretty good.
Did Blockman give you the you're just another brick in the wall line?
He did. Yes. Yeah.
Mega Man comes off as sort of bland in this game.
Yeah, he himself is like, I don't know, like the boring teenager who probably has all the merit badges from Boy Scouts. Nothing wrong with that, but
yeah,
he's just a little too do-goody.
Mega Man 7 had him nearly shoot Wily. You should go back to that.
Yeah, like. You know, I like all the individual components of the game, but I don't feel like the visuals mesh together really well. You have these like really cool backgrounds and pretty nicely designed foregrounds, but it all seems kind of like, I don't know, it doesn't quite mesh. There's just something about it that doesn't look quite right. And maybe it's like the very mediocre cell shading on a lot of things. Mega Man himself is really not great looking. Like his animation and his movement, his model, not good. Maybe that's what I'm kind of rejecting. It's just his look.
I'm just going to say I didn't notice anything wrong with it, but maybe that's my bias. I have no idea. It's just like, oh, Mega Man, hooray.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he doesn't have the personality that I expect from Mega Man.
It does feel like the enemies are of a different style than the backgrounds. They don't really like stick together very well.
But I do like the backgrounds because there is a lot of narrative in them that you got from, like, you know, the very early Mega Man games, and they kind of got away from in subsequent games. Like, Blast Man stage is really interesting. It's like, is that like a theme park based around Blast Man that then he blew up? That kind of seems to be what it is. It's very interesting, and it does, like, the game doesn't answer, like, it doesn't offer any explanation of it, which I think makes things more interesting. You're like, what is happening back there? And the camping theme of Torch Man stage is interesting because that's not really what you expect from a Mega Man game. It's like Mega Man is just messing up some campers, like, you know. He's like Smokey the Bear gone wrong. And then Blockman stage, there's like a robo Aztec temple back there, or Mayan temple. So you start to wonder what is the story for Mega Man's world? Like, this is clearly not happening in the real world. Like, there's some sort of like ancient, you know, Native American civilization that had access to robots or something. So what's happening? So you just kind of, I don't know, like the visual detail in this game, really, I don't know if there's actually any deliberate design purpose to it, but it is intriguing, and that's something I appreciate.
The theming is really good.
Yeah, so anyway, like I like a lot of the elements of the game. It's just, it doesn't quite come together for me. But
yes, fair.
Anyway, so talking a little bit about Mega Man 11, like, this game was designed internally by Capcom, right?
Yes.
Okay.
What was the creates doing?
I don't know if they're friends with Mega Man anymore.
Oh, what's that?
I don't know if they're friends with Capcom anymore.
Are they? Right? They're not working on Bloodstain anymore, too, right? Did I hear that correctly?
They were replaced by WayForward, apparently.
Interesting, huh?
I knew about WayForward, but I didn't know they'd been like outright replaced. But I guess they would be.
I don't know. Is IntiCreates? Do they do anything with Capcom anymore?
Not to my knowledge. The last thing I know of them doing was Curse of the Moon, which was fantastic for the Switch.
Right, but that wasn't with Capcom.
No, of course not.
They still make games. It's just I don't think they do the contract work with Capcom anymore, so I'm not sure what's happening there. Maybe they were like connected through Inafune or something, and once he left, they were like, well,
I'm going to go over here now.
Something like that. Anyway, so yeah, it's an internally developed Capcom project as opposed to being outsourced or something. So it's good that Capcom still has internal teams that aren't just working on mobile games or Monster Hunter.
I say more Monster Hunter.
Yeah, well, I mean, Monster Hunter's fine. It's just like it kind of seems like that became all Capcom was doing for a while. They really went heavy on the outsourcing, especially to Western studios last gen. So you kind of would expect like Mega Man 11 would be made by an external team, but it was not.
Well, I guess there's no more Capcom Vancouver, so
right.
Aww, it's too bad.
Yeah. So it was released in October of 2018, and basically published on everything. All three platform, like console platforms plus PC. Am I missing anything? There's not like a 3DS or mobile port.
No,
I don't think so.
Nothing to not deliver on. Hint, hint.
Wait, say again.
Oh, just thinking of Mighty Number 9 and waiting on that Vita game.
Where's my Wii U version?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the specter of Mighty Number 9 definitely hangs over Mega Man at this point because that was supposed to be like, well, Capcom's not going to make Mega Man, but Inafune will. And then it turned out not to be so great. And that was Into Creates. So maybe that was like the bridge burning there. But... yeah, Mighty No. 9 did not turn out well, and I will say Mega Man 11 is better than that, but I feel like it should have been vastly better than that. That didn't
happen. I feel like it was vastly better than Mighty No. 9, because Mighty No. 9 was just, I was so disappointed in that game. I was just like, I cannot believe how much fun I am not having with Mighty No. 9 right now.
Well, you know, the dash system in that game where you had to like kill something and then like dash into it to build up a charge or whatever.
Uh-huh.
That kind of reminds me a little bit of the double gear system in Mega Man 11, just because it's like, here is an extraneous gimmick that we have added to change up the play mechanics and force you to play a different way. I will say double gear works better because it is more optional. Like you don't have to use double gear. It makes the game harder if you don't, but
a lot of
it's
people
there.
Don't use it, yeah. Mm.
That's kind of what I don't like about it. I wish, so as bad as Mighty No. 9 is, I like that it at least has a system the game is based around. In Mega Man 11, I don't like that that system is optional because I feel like I forget that it exists and it doesn't feel like integrated very well. Where like, so they're definitely doing a Platinum Games thing, the developer Platinum Games, in that there is a time slowing down system, which is lots of fun in an action game, but it's not activated based on you doing something skillful. Just like, oh, I'll turn it on now.
Right.
And I feel like it just feels like a switch you're turning on. It doesn't feel like you're doing it in the game. It doesn't feel like your character is doing it. Just like, I'm going to flip the switch now. And now things are slower. It never feels natural like it does when you go like into Witch Time in Bayonetta or any of the other Platinum games, like every Platinum game where you slow down time.
I feel like that kind of mechanic works a little more fluidly in a 3D action setting because 2D and 3D games just work differently. Like 2D is crisper, faster, more responsive. 3D games, there is more, it's just, it moves at a different pace and there is more, I think, forgiveness built into it. So
that is true, but I think Beautiful Joe was 2D. And it did a lot of this sort of thing way better.
I never got to play it.
That's true.
And even in that game, it was sort of a switch, but it was necessary to play the game with the various abilities.
Okay.
And Beautiful Joe is a hard game.
I forget about Beautiful Joe.
But
that was kind of like the genesis, like the primal ooze of everything that is Platinum now. Mm-hmm. Like so many of their ideas came from that game back when they were Clover.
Time for an episode about Beautiful Joe.
Yeah, totally.
No,
absolutely. Okay, this episode is now about Beautiful Joe.
And I've never finished it.
Over.
It's also too hard.
No. The interesting thing about Mega Man 11 is that I noticed it's built on the MT framework, which, you know, Keiji Inafune was in charge of designing, or like, you know, not in charge of designing, but was like the guy who commissioned it, the executive who was like, here, let's make this project happen. And MT Framework was designed mostly for 3D games. It was used in Lost Planet 2, and I want to say it was used in Dead Rising?
I think, Dead Rising
something.
Was the first, like,
yeah,
real
it was Dead Rising.
Them showing off.
Maybe Dead Rising 2. But it was also built, he told me one time, with Mega Man Legends 3 in mind. Like, that was one of the things he wanted to do with MT Framework. And that didn't happen, but we did finally get a Mega Man game on the MT Framework, and that is Mega Man 11, which, as I mentioned, is the first HD Mega Man game. It's the first game to not only, like, have HD resolution, but also to be a widescreen game. I think that is a big issue with the game, is that it does have, like, the full... field view of a widescreen game, which it's the first time in a Mega Man game that's happened. And that does change the dynamic of a 2D game.
That's a good point. I never thought of that, but you're absolutely right.
I think that, like, it does make a difference to how it plays. And I'm not sure that they quite spent enough time thinking through the ramifications of that. And I think it was the right choice to like to go that direction. It would be weird to get an HD game, like a 1080p game, that was designed for a 4:3 ratio. Mm-hmm. Like that would have been stupid and bad. So it's good that they didn't do that.
Yes.
But it does change up the nature of the game and makes it different than previous Mega Man games. But I think the most important thing, like you mentioned before, is the double gear system. That is the big design change for this game. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think a lot of Mega Man games are kind of built around some sort of design. Like, they're designed around some sort of novel system. So, like, Mega Man 6, you had the rush adapter.
Yes,
or whatever it was, where
cool.
you could like find parts and Mega Man could eventually use a jetpack. Mega Man 3, you know, like the big innovation was Rush. Mega Man 4, it was the charge shot or the buster or whatever, Mega Buster. Mega Man 8, it was that stupid kickball thing.
I didn't really
know what
catch
they were
on.
Doing there. You're
forgetting Mega Man's bird.
Yep. Mega Man bird, the bird
Beat.
Was, Beat
five.
Was in 5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although he wasn't really designed, that game wasn't really designed around Beat.
No.
It
no.
was just something they added in. But like there are sometimes, some Mega Man games, like half of them I would say, are designed around some sort of new invention. Like there is an element of the game that is very conspicuously woven into the fabric of the entire play experience.
Yeah.
But I would say that more than anything since the Mega Buster in Mega Man 4, the double gear system is really like extremely like the gameplay is really sort of built around it. It's like predicated on the fact that everything is going to be easier if you understand how to use the double gear system.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's actually a good comparison with the Mega Buster because it is very much a system that completely changes what the game is about. Because like we were talking about. Beat doesn't really do much of anything. Rush is, yes, it's designed to be in the game, but I feel like, you know, not every element of the level was really designed around him. But, yeah, you're right. The double gear system is very much kind of like, is comparable to the charge shot in that regard.
Yeah, I really don't like how they did not commit to it. I can see the anxieties over the decision they made where it's like, we want to make a Mega Man game, but also we don't want to change things too much. So
right.
this system just sort of sits around in the background. And like I don't want to repeat myself over and over, but I really wish this game was just like, you have to use these skills constantly. You have to activate them by playing well and then use them in these specific situations. I wanted the game to be more designed around that, but I feel like they wanted to like, appeal to both Mega Man fans and newcomers who kind of need like a booster seat for the games.
Yeah, I think these games and their derivatives try to do that a lot, and I think it fails more often than not. Like I'm thinking of Azure Striker Gunvolt, and that has some kind of similar systems.
Oh,
it's been a
right,
while
yeah.
since I played Gunvolt, so I can't remember the exact specifics. I'm sorry, because it just occurred to me to make this comparison. But like that series is. Almost good, but just feels like it's missing something. Some element to really make the innovative mechanic that it includes, which involves like zapping stuff. I can't remember.
Yeah,
I feel like it
do.
Doesn't quite work like it's like it had it like they intended for it to. And I want to like those games more than I do. I think they're good, but I think they could be great. But kind of like with the charge or the double gear system, it just. Isn't quite there, and they just need like to take another pass at it, and that's the secret, I guess, is like more time, take more time.
Yeah, and I mean, God, how long did they have with Mega Man 11? Like 10 years or something like that. But
yeah,
I think
it wasn't actually in development for 10 years.
Yeah, but I think they started on it around. Well, I think Capcom is finally realizing that people care about Mega Man for a long time to hear the tittle-tattle behind the scenes. They just figured nobody cared about Mega Man anymore. And like, no, we care. And it's like, what's that? What's coming from the West? We don't care.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much Smash Brothers had to do with that. You know, Mega Man made his debut in Smash Brothers 4.
And that was
4
huge.
Years ago. Was it 4
yes.
years ago or 5? 2013, 2014,
2014,
I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be enough time for Capcom to see the feedback from Smash Brothers and say, oh, wait. What Capcom USA has been telling us, that people like Mega Man, that's actually correct. Who knew?
And we are all old people, and we don't really understand, I think, that they need to increase Mega Man awareness for younger people. Mm-hmm. Because really, the last Mega Man game was 10, right? Mm-hmm.
That was 2011, I want to say.
Yeah, so you could be a child, you could have been born that year, and now you could be like, who is Mega Man? This looks cool. Like, what is this? You could have totally missed, like, 9 and be a thing walking around with a brain and language and fingers to play video games with.
Yeah, I mean, I have nephews who are, you know, they were born in like 2010, 2009, and they knew who Mega Man is because of Smash Brothers. Like, they have never played a Mega Man game, or had never played them until I was like, play this. But they were aware of Mega Man, so when they saw me playing an old Mega Man game on NES, they were like, wow, it's like Mega Man meets Minecraft, because when they see pixel graphics, they're like, Minecraft. So it was actually very easy to make them, you know, to encourage them to play this game. They were like, oh, it's two things that I love together. That's neat. I want to play this. Oh, it's really hard. What? But you know, the hook was there. So I'm glad Capcom finally said, let's seize on that. And I feel like Mega Man 11's fortunes can't be hurt by the fact that Smash Ultimate, you know, launched 2 months later, and Mega Man is in there. Although he, you know, is like one tiny little box on the character select screen, along with 75 other tiny little boxes.
But he's there.
He is there. He might show up at some point, and people will see him and be like, "What is? Tell me more of this Mega Man."
This is related to what we're talking about, but did either of you, Naughty or Jeremy, play the 2014 Strider game?
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is the same director.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't get to play it.
And I'm looking at some of the stuff he's made, and a lot of things I don't... So this is definitely Jeremy wants... You should know about this, Jeremy. He was the project coordinator for Ultimate Goals, Ghosts and Goblins. So,
you know, I made that comparison in my notes.
One of your favorite games.
Not in a flattering way.
But yeah, it's funny he has that in common. Also director of Resident Evil Zero. Which is not a great game, but he worked with what he had. So I'm not saying this guy sucks or anything, but I'm just saying it's interesting to see like what he's worked on before, mm-hmm. and how that might like make you think about what his design trends are. I mean, what was that Strider game like? Do you see anything in common with this game?
I mean, the Strider game was basically an attempt to take the NES game and make it into something better. Like the NES game was an exploratory platformer, Metroidvania-ish kind of thing, but it was really just like not, it felt like it wasn't finished. Hmm. It was very rough. Like it was surprisingly rough for a Capcom game of the time that it came out, because they were so polished at that point. And then this one was like, it's on a cartridge and it has loading times. Like,
wow.
Yeah, it's
that is bizarre.
It's kind of a mess, but there was a good intent behind it. The controls were bad. So I feel like Strider 2014 was an attempt to kind of revisit that concept and give people a proper exploratory Strider platformer. And it was okay. It has some issues. Like, there are some quality of life things that are just such blatant oversights. I don't know what they were thinking. Like, there is no fast travel system within the game, no teleport or anything. Mm. So by the end, you have this massive open world that you're running around, and to get anywhere, you have to trek it, you know, on foot from one side of the world to the other. And that sucks. Ouch. And that's just like such a basic thing. I mean, you've played Symphony of the Night, folks, or even, you know, Metroid 3, Super Metroid. It didn't have a teleport system, but it created these interlinks between its areas. So it was actually really fast and easy to get from one place mm-hmm. to another. So, yeah, actually knowing that he has been in charge of Capcom's other sort of notable 2.5D games does explain a lot, because it does give me kind of a similar sensation to playing Ultimate mm-hmm. Ghosts and Goblins or Ultimate Ghouls and Ghosts, whatever it is, and a little bit of Strider. Like, it's kind of floaty. It's not as responsive as I like. One of the big problems I have with Mega Man 11 is that it has all these like explosion effects and weapon effects and stuff like that, and they tend to obscure the action. Like, it's just such a basic thing. You know, people have been adding distracting light effects to games ever since we went 3D. And like at this point, you know, it's neat to have bright lights and explosions and stuff, but it's also important to be able to see like the enemy you're shooting at that, you know, is enwreathed in explosions. What's it doing right now?
What
is its animation going to be? Like there are tells that the characters have built into their animations and I can't see those tells because my explosions are obscuring their animation, like obscuring the target. And that's just such a foundational, basic, fundamental thing that should not be an issue in games anymore. And here is Mega Man 11, you know, an internally developed game from Capcom by an experienced director, still doing it. And it kills me. I'm like, come on, you should know better than this by now. And, you know, I'm sitting here from the outside. I've never made a video game. So it's easy for me to say, oh, you guys did it wrong. But I still feel like there are just some things that, you know, over time we have seen, hey, this isn't good, and maybe let's ease back on that, or let's find a way to make it work better, and this game doesn't do that, and it's very frustrating. Like, I feel like there are some fundamental issues.
This is pretty funny. His first directorial role was sort of another weird kind of throwback. It was Mighty Final Fights.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I
or maybe
love
like
that
a throw forward. I don't know what you would call that, but he's kind of been doing the same thing for Capcom for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, that was a cute game.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like Itsuno, you know, was, I guess he's working on Devil May Cry now, which is kind of a change. But up until that point, he was just like the fighting, brawling guy. Not Itsuno, Ono. What is Ono working on now?
Ono.
Yoshinori Ono. He was the Street Fighter guy, but he...
Itsuno was the Dragon's Dogma and Devil May Cry, right?
Yeah, he's working on Devil May Cry. We got a little mixed up there. Ono, I'm not sure what he's working on besides, like, retro compilations. But you know, he, you know, did Street Fighter 4 and 5. And before that, he had worked on all these brawlers. Like, that brawler collection was a project that he put together because all the games that were in that collection were by him. And it's a pretty weird collection of games, like Battle... What is it called? I can't remember. It's like a weird sort of futuristic game, almost kind of Power Stone-ish in nature.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the freaking
name. Yeah, it's like super weird. And then there's Captain Commando, which is also super weird. But then there's, you know, the D&D games. Those aren't in that collection. But I don't know. Anyway,
like Shadows over Mystara and whatnot?
Yeah, that's not in that collection.
To answer your question, I'm getting
all mixed up. Don't listen to me.
It's okay.
I'm gonna stop talking.
I don't like leaving lingering questions on podcasts. So to answer your question, Ono is working on the totally real and totally will come out one day game Deep Down.
Oh, okay. I remember seeing a demo of that in like 2013.
There was actually a demo of it.
God, I forgot about.
I thought there was a CGI trailer.
I want to say that there was a. Maybe my memories are failing on me, but I feel like there was a very small demo that I played, and it would have been for US Gamer, so
weird.
We should look that up. But
yeah,
anyway, this is a total sidebar.
Capcom, everyone.
But the important thing is, like, Capcom does have some veteran developers who have been kind of hoeing the same row for a long time, and what's the name of the guy who did 11?
The director of Mega Man 11 is Koji Oda.
Okay. So Deep Down, I played a playable demo for PS4 in 2013 at TGS, and I wrote about it. And they definitely had some Dark Souls envy going on, according to my preview. Mm. Anyway, I think maybe, like, I'm clearly, like, low on brain oxygen, so I think we should take a quick break and reconvene, and maybe I'll start making more sense.
Excellent. Let's do that.
And so we're back. And, you know, it occurred to me, Nadia, I started having you explain what the double gear system is, and then we didn't actually explain it.
Double gear?
Double gear.
One of us had to do it.
Oh, that was going to be my intro, and
oh,
I forgot about it.
Oh, you ruined it.
I apologize.
Sorry, I decided to embarrass Nadia instead of making a Metal Gear joke.
That's more of a Jeremy joke.
That was a pretty good intro, though.
Thanks. Anyway, so, yeah, why don't you tell us about double gear?
Double gear.
What actually is it? Like, we've talked about it and how it's good and bad, but we haven't actually said, like, here's what it is. So I'm going to leave that to you, Nadia.
Well, very in a very basic term, you have the power gear and the speed gear, and you can activate either or at any time, but you have an energy bar that depletes as you use them. And if you activate the speed gear, time slows down to kind of a Matrix-y NES speed, and that helps you dodge things, especially if you get the upgrade that lets you move normally as the speed gear is activated. And the power gear, which I probably never use very much, actually just like pours a whole lot of power, as its name suggests, into your shots and the special weapons you use against bosses. And you can also trigger both at the same time if you really want to like just go all out. But I don't think I ever did that very much either. I mostly used the speed gear for just to get around tricky parts. The interesting thing, though, about the speed gear and the power gear is that they factor into the game's story quite a bit and fuel a rivalry between Dr. Light and Dr. Wily, which I was just like making proto-men jokes the whole time until my husband told me to stop it.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to talk about that because the double gear system is more than just like a gameplay gimmick. It's the first time I feel like the classic Mega Man games have attempted to really talk about the backstory between Light and Wily.
Yes.
And, you know, they definitely have explored that in the Battle Network alternate universe. The idea was that Wily there, I think, wanted to go into robotics, and Light was like, no, AI. So it became like this rivalry. And I feel like they sort of took that element of Battle Network and finally said, why don't we use this to explain sort of the rivalry between Light and Wily in this universe? And I feel like it's a little late to finally say, oh, here's what's the deal with Dr. Wily. But basically, he wanted to come up with a system that would make robots stronger and faster. And Dr. Light wanted to make a system that would make robots able to make their own decisions and smarter.
Right, and, which is a nice nod to X.
Yes. But I mean, at the end of the game, they basically, like, spoilers here for the ending, but they basically say, like, well, Mega Man embodies both of these. He can make his own decisions, and also he kicks ass. So, you know, this is what you were after the whole time, Wily, which I think is a little weird because it's like, well, didn't, like, Bass and Treble exist? What about King? Like, hasn't Wily already kind of done this thing? But I guess, you know, continuity is not necessarily, like, don't go looking for a solid, like, continuity in the Mega Man games. It's just Wily does something bad and Mega Man has to stop him every time.
Yeah, I appreciate that they gave us something. And the fact that we get to see young Dr. Light, like, with his magnificent head of hair and the beginnings of that beard of his. Like, I like that sort of thing, even though, yes, as you say, it is a bit late. But given how it's been 11 or 10 years since the last Mega Man game, I don't really begrudge them for saying, okay, here's what's up, you guys.
Right. And, you know, on top of that, in addition to that being baked into the story and being a key mechanic for Mega Man himself, it also factors into the Robot Master fights. And it really changes up the nature of the Robot Master fights. And that's something I actually think is really good. Like, the Robot Master battles can be kind of extremely challenging if you don't have the right weapons in this game.
They can be quite intense.
But the idea is that, you know, once you've done a certain amount of damage to a Robot Master, it's like, all right, I'm taking off the stops, and it will use either speed gear or power gear. Like, each boss has its own preference. And so they'll have, like, a second phase to the battle, and you have to overcome that, and it's a much harder phase. It does feel kind of like an Inti-Creates thing, actually. Like, Inti-Creates boss battles almost always, like, you get to the halfway point, and they're like, okay, now I'm going to fight for serious. And they kind of do the same thing here, but it's more like the battle works in thirds. So you have the power or speed gears phase, and then once you kind of overcome that, there's like a final sort of postscript phase where you have to beat sort of the original boss patterns, but harder.
Yeah, like I'm thinking back to Blockman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the best example.
He's the best example because he starts off kind of normal, then he morphs into that huge brick guy, which is really cool, and then he loses it when he loses his final form and like starts screaming, "I won't lose, I won't lose," and he starts just hurling bricks at you at huge speed.
Yeah, that final phase I thought was actually the hardest part until I realized you can actually run along top of the bricks that he's throwing.
Mm. Well, you can. Holy
yeah,
I didn't know that.
I didn't realize either. But then I was watching YouTube videos and I was like, "Wait, what? How is that possible? That's great."
I think as we get like more and more away from Mega Man 11, we're going to find a lot of people finding weird tricks that make you say, "What the hell? I could do that." Mm.
Beat Mega Man 11 with this one weird trick.
Doctors hate it.
All right, so, you know, we've talked about Mega Man 11, good and bad, for a while, but now I think it's time to open up the floor to our listeners. I put out a call on Retronauts.com and via Twitter for people to submit emails or leave comments about Mega Man 11. So before we get into the kind of the final breakdown of this game, I would like for you, the people who listen to and enjoy Retronauts, to tell us what you think about the game. So Bob and I are going to alternate. I've got a bunch of emails here, and he's got comments on the website.
Ooh, okay.
So we'll just take some turns, and I'll go first. From Juan Barragas. When it was announced, I looked forward to Mega Man 11. I've been enamored with the Blue Bomber ever since my early childhood and hoped it would not repeat the same mistakes as his last comeback in Mega Man 9, which relied too much on cheap deaths and rote memorization, in my opinion. Mega Man 10 was much better. I downloaded the demo off the Switch eShop as soon as it was available and was met with utter disappointment. Where do I begin?
Wow.
Normal enemies are damage sponges. Blockman stage is way too long. The block patterns and attacks are too cheap. Was I doing it wrong? I tried lowering the difficulty and relying more on Mega Man's new Double Gear system, but it didn't really address any of the concerns I had. It reminded me a lot of how Metroid Samus Returns felt. An admirable attempt, but bloated and missing the point in some way. I might pick it up on sale, but that first impression left a lot to be desired.
That's a totally valid opinion, but at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, I've been thinking of that guy in The Simpsons who was like, so you want a realistic show about magic robots. Like, if you don't like Mega Man 9 and you don't like Mega Man 10, you don't like Mega Man 11, I don't know. I don't really know what you want. I'm sorry.
Battle Network?
Maybe.
Okay.
Mega Man Legends 3?
Battle Network's a good series.
Damn it.
Chip Challenge. I'll read Blargs because he agrees with me. While not perfect, I think Mega Man 11 was a good effort after the series' long hiatus. Vibrant visuals drew me into each stage, and the level design is mostly excellent. The gear system added a nice twist to standard Mega Man gameplay. However, it wasn't enough to prevent me from becoming frustrated with a few difficult sections, particularly the Flaming Walls and Torchman stage. And yes, I totally agree with Blarg there. Worse, checkpoints on normal difficulty were spaced a little too far apart, forcing me to repeat long stretches. Eventually, I bought up a bunch of lives in the shop so I could brute force my way through stages. The Robot Masters are overflowing with personality, spouting hilariously bad one-liners. But my favorite is Acid Man, who cries chemistry upon defeats.
Yes, when he died.
Oh, I thought he shouted, "Oh, acid!" Or no, he says like acid. So it's kind of like shit.
Oh, really? Wow. And then Blarg finishes up by saying, "I hope Capcom builds on what they created here." And that's something we didn't talk about. I hate it is traditional, but I hate the lives system in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And
I want to talk about this.
Okay,
more later, for
yeah.
Sure. Actually, why don't we talk about it now?
Let's do it now. Yeah,
so,
it sucks.
To me, there is a big shadow looming over Mega Man 11, and that is Shovel Knight. Because Shovel Knight took Mega Man and said, let's modernize it. So it gave it, you know, retro graphics, but added in a lot of new gameplay ideas. Now, Shovel Knight did one thing that I think was really bad and it frustrates me when I play it, and that is its levels are so goddamn long. They just drag on and on.
Each level is
basically... Mega Man 11 has the exact same problem. But the thing is, it works in Shovel Knight more so than Mega Man 11 because they came up with a really innovative checkpoint system where you don't have lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can keep dying as many times as you want. And then you have all these optional checkpoints through the stage. You can either use the checkpoint, and then every time you die, you'll restart from there, so you don't have to fight through like the entire stage if you run out of lives and after you beat the or reach the boss. But you don't have to use the checkpoints. If you want more of a challenge, you can destroy them, and you'll get a bonus for it. But it means if you die, if you screw up, then you get sent way back. So there's like this sort of player agency to Shovel Knight. That, you know, they took away the live system altogether. So, like, that is a huge frustration in Mega Man 11 because the stages are so long. And if you make it to the boss and you can't beat the boss on your first go and you run out of, like, you know, you run out of lives, then you have to do all of that all over again. And it's not fun. It's tedious. And
I hate that the restart option is labeled continue. Like, a continue? Okay, sure. Oh, I'm at the beginning again. Yeah.
That's the Mega Man way, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, like, it's like they said, let's take the worst thing about Shovel Knight, because people really love that game and treat it like a new Mega Man, so we should learn something from it. Let's learn what they did wrong and then not include any of the things they did right to help mitigate that bad design decision. And so you end up with Mega Man 11 stages that are two or three times as long as the stages in Mega Man 1, 2, 3. Like, those games had really short levels. You can clear, like, a stage in Mega Man 2 in, like, 2 to 3 minutes. No problem. But here the stages are, like, 8, 9, 10 minutes long if you know everything to do. Like, if you're good at playing through them. And they can take even longer to complete if you struggle with it. And I just don't want to play through 10 minutes of, you know, dealing with cheap gimmicks and things like that every time I die to a boss. Like, to me, that was a huge deterrent, and it just feels really dated.
I really hope that I was okay with the stage length, but I understand the complaints. I really hope that we see something more like in the vein of Mega Man 3 with Mega Man 12, in that you have shorter stages, but you have more of them.
Yeah.
You kind of have that twist at the end.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, here's Doc Robot.
You have the opposite of that here. Yeah. Because there are, like, two Dr. Wily stages, and then you have the showdowns. That's it.
Yeah.
I was like, really? Where are the rest of the stages? What happened to, like, Dr. Wily's stage 3 and 4? Because usually you have, like, you know, 4 bosses along the way, each in its own stage, and then you have the showdown, and then you have, you know, the rematches with the Robot Masters and then Dr. Wily. And you don't get that here. So it's...
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, it just feels like they should have rebalanced the length of stages. Like, more smaller stages are better, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It just, like, a big problem I had with the stage design is that every stage feels like it's twice as long as it should be.
Oh, yeah.
And every stage's second half is just, like, the first half, but harder. So it's, like, I get the whole idea of, like, here's a challenge. Okay, now here's a challenge, but it's more difficult. But it's such literal copy and paste. Then it just feels like, oh, I've already done this, but now it's more annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, that is really, like, a huge black mark against this game in my book, is just, like, the drawn-out, kind of repetitive level design, especially, you know, if you have to go back and restart. It's just, like, this again? God, I don't want to do this again.
By the time you make it to the boss, you're just too worn down to even stand a chance. You're like, well, this is going to be another dry run. And I know that, like, that was cool in games a long time ago, but this is also 2018. This is a new game. And I feel like they should have made some concessions for people living in the present.
Well, they gave you the auto shop where you can load up on lives and E-tanks to brute force.
There you go.
But it was always, you know, disappointing to get to a boss in Mega Man. And early NES Mega Man and lose and have to do the stage over again. But again, the stages there lasted like 3 minutes. So mm-hmm. It was just quick and painless, really, to get back. Not so much this time. Anyway, I didn't mean to rant there, but that is like one of my big complaints in terms of design with this game.
I never thought of Shovel Knight. That's a great point. And you can't judge these things in a vacuum. Oh, sorry, Nadia.
I just like the idea of giving players that agency, and I think Mega Man 11, you're right, it could have get benefit from something like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys are going to, like, take inspiration from someone who's inspired by you, there's nothing wrong with that. Just be sure to be holistic about it instead of just, like, copying the weird bad parts. I don't know. Anyway, so in stark contrast to all of my screaming and ranting, here is Matt Natsis with Mega Man 11 thoughts. I couldn't have been more excited for the release of Mega Man 11. From Mega Man's inclusion in Super Smash Bros. To the Mega Man Collection games, I'd been yearning for a return to the classic series, and Mega Man 11 did not disappoint. They successfully walked that tightrope of making the game feel both classic and also an evolution in the series. I was especially impressed by how they designed the Double Gear system to be a great help, but not technically a requirement, should someone want to tackle the game truly old school. The new Robot Masters were all great, though I do wish Mega Man 9's Splash Woman had inspired more female-coded Robot Masters. Tundra Man was my favorite, an Arctic work robot who instead chose to become a figure skater. That's perfect for that world. Side note, I completely agree. I love that character. I think he's great.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
Mega Man 11 was exactly what I was hoping it would be, and I hope this means a long-lasting return for the Blue Bomber and crew.
That is true. Splash Woman broke through the robot ceiling in Mega Man 9. Was there a female robot in 10?
Nope.
Wow, what the hell?
No, there wasn't. The Sheep Man, though. The Sheep Man was pretty cool.
That was cool.
But not female.
I love Sheep Man.
here's more positivity. Rozzy Luigi says, Mega Man 11 was a solid return after such a long absence and showed that the franchise can still be relevant without necessarily using 8-bit nostalgia as a crutch. The levels were punchy and creative, and the Robot Masters were nicely conceived. Quality of life additions like insta-summoning Rush and using the joystick to quickly select weapons feel like the right direction for the series. That said, I hope this is the last we see of the double gear mechanic. It may have been fine as a boss weapon a la Flashman's Time Stopper, but as an ability that pervades the entire game, it had way too much impact on the level design. Torchman's firewalls and Blockman's irritating crates and conveyor belts were clearly intended to nudge the player towards slowing time, which made them feel cheap rather than challenging. Overall, though, it's one of my favorite games of the year. I hope it heralds a new lease on life for one of my favorite series in all of gaming. And maybe we'll get better music next time? The music is not great in this game.
It's okay, but the worst...
It's okay.
The worst is Bounce Man, which is fitting because that's also the worst stage
it's
in Mega
the worst
Man
stage.
Ever.
But I was complaining earlier that the game is not designed around the system. Like, a few tiny moments are, and that's why it just feels so off to me. Just like, okay, this is where I'm using it now. This is where I have to think about this thing that I have that I just sort of is sitting in the background. I agree with Rozzy Luigi on a few things. Like, I do hope they either develop the double gear mechanic or just take it out for the next game.
All right, here's one from Jared Natsis. I don't know if he's any relation to Matt Natsis. Both of them gave their locations. Matt says he's from Livermore, California, and Jared says he's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But it's also kind of weird that two people gave their locations, which doesn't usually happen. I'm on to you, Natsis family. You guys are double-dipping.
The dynasty.
Because I said 200 words. Now you've given me 400. All right. From Jared Natsis, I think Mega Man 11 is exactly what the series needed right now. 9 and 10 are excellent games, but their retro throwback style gives them an automatic distinction of being niche. Another game in that vein would have been tired and overlooked, like 10 already was.
Poor 10.
But 11 moves the classic series forward in a way that hasn't happened since 8, and is a far better game than 8 in my opinion, though 8 is still good. There's a lot I could say about why I love this game, but I want to focus on the music. I've seen the criticism that Mega Man 11's soundtrack is too generic or just plain EDM, or just bland EDM. I disagree. I've listened to the soundtrack several times while doing work, and there's some standout tracks that fit well in the Mega Man music pantheon. To me, the OST still has a Mega Man spirit while also sounding new and exciting. All right, this guy's trolling. My personal favorite tracks are Bounce Man. I love major Mega Man level themes, major key Mega Man level themes. Acid Man, totally unique Mega Man music, sinister but singable. And Fuse Man just punches you in the face with sound in a good way. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the OST and how it compares. It stinks.
Wow.
I wouldn't go that far.
No,
I was just
doing the pod people thing.
It's not not terrible. I just think it didn't stand out.
It sounds bad, Dragon Quest XI.
Oh, God, yeah. That's a new low, though.
Beep, 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 beep.
I can play all the scales and make it into a town theme.
Let me get my recorder.
Here's another comment from... Juxelby. Sorry.
Juxelby. Yes, I don't know. They comment a
let
lot.
Let us know in the comments, and we'll say it right next time. But overall, I thought they did a good job making a Mega Man game that looks new and has new features, but still kind of plays like you're used to by the classic series. It's a bit closer to 7 and 8 than 2 or 3 that the games before it based their designs on, but that's fine. I'm really enjoying the bonus modes they added, like Balloon Rush mode, for example. They serve as a good way of quickly practicing all the levels while still providing some variety by adding or removing obstacles and adding time pressure. I'm just glad there are replays you can download from the leaderboards. I was a bit disappointed with the overall level design. There's a few too many instant death traps, which can get rather frustrating. Some of the frustration is alleviated by the fact that you can buy items in the shop, but ideally levels should be enjoyable without them. This is, of course, a problem that goes away the more you play the game and learn the levels, but on the first playthrough, it can be rather harsh. My second complaint is about the soundtrack. It's just mediocre through and through, which is not the expectation I have of a Mega Man title. So... yeah, I'm on board with this. I do feel like upon playing these stages for the first time, they can be really demoralizing, and you will immediately want to jump to another stage just because, you know, it is a lot of just learning and being punished and being sent back and having to repeat a lot. So, yeah, I totally am on board with that.
Yeah, I mean, that was part of my level design complaints and the live system. Lives are just, unless you design your game specifically around the concept of lives, they're just dated. Like, that's been a big complaint of mine with the new Super Mario Brothers games for a long time. A lot of them, you know, you have to beat like a fortress or a castle in order to be able to save or unlock something in the world map. So if you're new to Mario, those games get really hard really fast. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, I'm getting sent back 5 stages because I didn't beat this very difficult fortress. And I feel like that's a huge deterrent for the new audience. Meanwhile, like, experienced Mario players rack up so many extra lives that it's just kind of pointless. So, like, what purpose are they serving? And I'm really glad that Mario Odyssey finally ditched lives because they're an old idea that doesn't work anymore. And I wish Mega Man 11 had done the same. Shovel Knight did. Come on, guys, get with it. Yacht Club Games knows what's up.
This composer did compose music for Monster Hunter, which I think has good music. Maybe she just wasn't into the Mega Man mindset.
The Mega Man.
Monster Hunter has like kind of a very different atmosphere, and if she's kind of doing music for that, it doesn't translate quite the same for Mega Man.
All right, from Kevin Boyer, I miss the exploration of the later X games. Not that I expected it from Mega Man 11. It is just noticeable when playing it alongside the Mega Man X anthology. The gear system does make up for it. I dig the history behind the device, along with Wily and Light's backstory. It still finds a way to make me want to throw my controller. Blast Man is giving me some problems. So, mission successful.
This is an interesting perspective from Cosmic States, who says, I never grew up with Mega Man as a kid, so my first Mega Man game was in fact Mega Man 9 and back in my first year of high school. I was immediately hooked, and it quickly became one of my favorite franchises. Unfortunately, my timing in getting into the franchise couldn't have been worse, as within a couple of years, we witnessed its apparent death. After Mighty No. 9, I was ecstatic at the announcement of Mega Man 11, but also somewhat cautious. Another classic sequel felt too safe, and I would say the game still feels this way overall. Though after being dormant for 8 years, this might be necessary. It helps that the double gear system wasn't a gimmick as I initially feared, but instead added much-needed variety. The gameplay is otherwise Mega Man as you know it, which feels great. As for the soundtrack, it's overall not quite as memorable or reaches the same heights as earlier games. Additionally, while I still hold 9 and 10 in high regard, I was happy to see 11 drop the 8-bit look. It was cool at the time, but the series shouldn't keep drawing from the same well. Overall, I'd say the game was pretty great, and I'm hoping that the revival truly sticks. And this is Bob speaking now. I think it's interesting that people walk away with a very different opinion about the gear system.
I noticed that. That is very
interesting. There's no consistent opinion on it. So that's kind of weird.
I would call this a divisive game, a controversial game, perhaps.
It is a very controversial game.
I love it or hate it sort of game. A mixed bag. All right. So from Justin DeLestra, this is the last of the mails I have. Mega Man 11 is a welcome step forward for me. It's nice to see Capcom move from the 8-bit nostalgia and try to do new things with the formula. This is one of the better-looking 2.5D attempts. Double Gear is a great shakeup. Now, bring back my real love, Mega Man X, if you can keep the quality up. So, there we go. Positive and negative opinions.
Yeah, across the board. Just like with the gear system, I don't think there's any sort of consensus. Is there like a Metacritic? A Metacritic is the lord of all opinions,
right,
so we should consult it.
Yes, they
decides who lives and who dies, who should be hired and fired. I'm honestly, I really don't know. I've never looked it up. I'm just checking it out now. 80 on Metacritic.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. It's green. That means no one got fired.
According to people on forums, terrible, it's the worst game ever. Like anything other, lower than like a 95 Metacritic is garbage.
82 for PS4. So it's just like in the low 80s. I guess so.
I guess Switch fans are just more cynical. What's the Xbox One score? Did anyone even review it on Xbox One?
That's a good question.
What the Mega Man?
3. PC. Oh. Actually, it has a lower score on Xbox One, 77%. And then on PC, it's 79%. I feel like there should be...
Fail.
Yeah. So.
So that does work out to be about 80 overall.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
8 out of 10 is like the default video game score, too.
All right. So we've talked a lot about this game.
Talk a lot of trash.
And also some positive.
I stick up for it. Yes. I still stick up
for
it.
I'm glad Nadia has stuck up for it.
Hopefully we're not shouting Nadia down or stonewalling her.
No, I don't feel like we are.
No.
I mean, we're giving...
No, it's not like you can sit here and say you're totally wrong about this and you're totally wrong about that. As we see in the reader mail, you either really are fine with the gear system or you just think it's everything that Mega Man shouldn't stand for. I understand it's a divisive game, but for myself, I just really enjoyed it, and I feel like what Capcom, you know, they're kind of in an awkward spot where they have to revive this series. You have a whole bunch of fans you have to please, but you have to bring in newcomers as well. So I think, as a compromise, Mega Man 11 is a very good game, and I really enjoyed it, and it's actually one of my favorites this year.
Hmm. So, you know, for myself, I've been negative on this game, but it's not out of, like, some sort of preconceived grudge. I was very excited to play this game, and I held out until... just recently to play it because I wanted to just like sit down and really give it my attention. I didn't play demos. I didn't read spoilers. I didn't watch videos. I was just like, I'm going to go into this game fresh. So maybe that's my own fault. Maybe if I had known more about what this game was, I'd have said, oh, okay, well, now I know what to expect. But I was expecting, I guess, something that was, you know, like a fresh take on the classic formula in certain ways that it's not. And maybe that's on me. But, you know, I respect the fact that you enjoy it, Nadia, because you definitely know this series. So if you like it, like, you have great reasons for doing that, and you see something in it I don't, and that's cool.
Everybody gets along.
And again, like, I feel like I need to spend some more time with this game, give it another shot. You know, having seen how people play it in their Super Play videos... It's very different than the way I play it, so I need to stop approaching it so much as a classic Mega Man game and be like, okay, fine, I'll use your stupid gears. I will say one thing I really like about this is that the weapons, the Robot Master weapons, have genuine utility in a way that they don't in a lot of Mega Man games. Like the best Mega Man games, you want to switch around to your different weapons. I feel like the only weapon that isn't super useful is Blast Man's with the sticky bombs.
Those
seem kind of, it's like, okay, well, you know, anytime you get a bomb character in there, like Crash Man or Bomb Man or whatever, it's always kind of like, who cares about this? But all the other weapons, like, I love that Block Man's blocks, which fall from above, are great at hitting enemies that are shielded from the front. There's a lot of enemies like Sniper Joes that are normally really hard to destroy. But now you have a few options to hit them from behind. You have the blocks that can hit them from above, or you have the Fuse Man's sparks that race around the floor. And if you can line up things correctly, you can actually hit Sniper Joes from behind and bypass their shield. So you have a lot of options for using your weapons here. Some of the areas where you have to ride around on platforms while things are taking pot shots at you, those are annoying, but if you have the acid shield, it becomes a lot easier.
Yeah.
So you just need to know, like, what weapons to use. In addition to using the gear system, you also need to make use of the Robot Master weapons. So, again, I'm feeling like maybe I didn't play this game right, and maybe if I revisit it, I will enjoy it more. So anyone who's listened to this and said, damn you, Jeremy Parrish, for being such a negative Nelly, it's not a lockdown decision. I'm open to changing my mind. But my first impression, like, you know, after spending several hours with the game a few days ago, yesterday also, I'm just like, I'm not feeling this. Mm. So anyway, final thoughts on Mega Man 11. Like, are there things that it improves on from the previous games, and are there things that it needs to do better? Nadia, you are positive, so let's hear what you have to say.
As I said, I think like a lot of the design decisions that Capcom made was because they were in that unenviable position where they had to, again, please hardcore fans and bring in newcomers. But it's interesting that you're talking about, like, you know, coming into it from a totally fresh, totally virgin perspective. And that's kind of what we did when we were kids, wasn't it? We took the game off the shelf. Maybe we read about it a bit in Nintendo Power. But nowadays, you have that hype cycle. And, like, if you... I kind of knew what to expect from Mega Man 11 going into it. Because, of course, I played the demo. I watched previews. So maybe I was a little more prepared for it. But you kind of had a valid position as well, just coming from it taking it off the shelf because people still do that on occasion, I'm told. So, yeah, it's just been a very interesting conversation with you. As for improvements, number one, make the next game an X game.
Yeah.
And they probably will. I hear, thankfully, this game has sold quite well. I think it sold over 1 million already, which is, like, you know, that magic number, especially for, you know, a niche game like Mega Man kind of is. And, yeah, I guess we've talked about some of the things it could do to improve. For example, giving agency to the player whenever they want to continue, taking the good parts from Shovel Knight instead of the bad parts from Shovel Knight and other really good platformers like that. The double gear system, I like it, and I see what they were doing with it. If they just decided to do away with it entirely next time, I'd be like, oh, I guess that's a shame, but I wouldn't cry. So I'm very wishy-washy on what they do with that. But overall, I enjoyed it. I don't know if I'd call it my favorite Mega Man. I still think that's Mega Man 3, but it's up there.
I have a few thoughts, actually.
Okay, Bob, share your few thoughts.
My final thoughts in this game. I've been processing it all and why I don't like it that much, but I think it boils down to a lot of what Jeremy was saying, and some of my own thoughts too, of course, but like I do feel like my playthrough of this game, my attempts to play were just very demoralizing, and that's why it was not a fun experience, and this has nothing to do with like this gear system. I just feel like, God, if there only there were more checkpoints, if only there weren't lives, just a few minor changes like that, surface level changes like that, I would have really enjoyed this game a lot more, and I do want to give it a chance, but my experience was, you know, barely making it to a boss, losing, and then saying, I don't want to do this again, and then going to another stage and doing the same thing in that stage, just like never making any progress. And I feel like it just was so demoralizing just to play for so long and not really achieve anything. So
we're also kind of, just to cut you off there, sorry, I'm just thinking we're all kind of a little bit older.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since the last Mega Man game, and we don't really, like, we don't have summer breaks to sit there and go through those stages all over again. So we have to kind of give a shout out to the fact that we're all a little bit older, we have things to do, we don't have that patience anymore, and I think that really factors into maybe some people's dislike of the game as well.
Yeah, you can make a difficult game and I'll play it, but just to erase my progress at this point in my life, I feel like I've done this too much. I now know how long I will live, and I want to make use of that time. I'm not dying, by the way, just to let everyone know. I just feel like, oh, my time is way more valuable now, especially because I have less of it to play games. But yeah, I feel like, God, just let me make progress. Let me achieve something by putting all this time into the game. And that's ultimately why it was demoralizing. And I want to go back and play it more, maybe thinking about that gear system more, maybe even bumping it down to like baby difficulty just to make progress. I mean, I was playing it at normal. Maybe I'm not ready for normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, casual is kind of the same, just with more checkpoints. Mm-hmm. And I think as we're older and have things to do, that's totally valid to just kind of say, you know what? More checkpoints for me.
It's a grown-ass adult mode.
Yeah.
It is.
Like, I don't have time for this crap. Yeah, I finally kind of, you know, I think I've expressed my feelings pretty well. I would like shorter levels. I would like, you know, more quality of life considerations for some dated design conventions that just don't really belong in games anymore, or at least if they do belong in games, again, it needs to be designed specifically around those limitations. I would like for the graphics to feel more cohesive. There's a lot of, I feel like this game is full of individual elements that just don't quite gel. And most of all, I want the game to feel better as I'm playing. It just feels so sticky and laggy the way that the Mega Man Legacy Collections did. And I know that's not how those games feel because I play them on original hardware all the time. And I wish Mega Man 11 felt like playing NES on, or playing Mega Man 2 or 3 on NES on a CRT, as opposed to feeling like, you know, playing the Legacy Collections on Switch. Like, that really is important to me, is having that responsiveness and that speed. Like, I just need that because otherwise it doesn't feel right. And these games especially, because I know Mega Man so well and I'm so accustomed to how they controlled on their original hardware. And that sounds so snobbish, and I'm really sorry about that, but it's true. It's just like, I've played so much of this, it's really hard for me to go and expect, you know, to be happy with something that plays differently and that, you know, is less responsive. So those are my complaints. But, you know, I will say, despite all of that, there's a lot that I like about Mega Man 11, but maybe most of all, its personality. Like, I just love the new characters that they came up with in terms of like just random generic enemies, it's so rare that you have people revisit a series like this and add new stuff to the pantheon of generic mook monsters and make them work. I love so many, like the little dudes in a Blast Man stage who ride the roller coaster cars around as the mid boss.
Yeah.
They kind of look like, you know, Bosco or like, you know, 1920s black and white cartoon characters. And they have these like kind of goofy little voices. I love those guys. They're so great. And I love just how much thought they put into the new additions to, you know, minor enemies that are just cannon fodder that you normally just plow through without thinking about them. But there is a lot of personality in Mega Man 11, and I really, really like that. I really think they nailed that. I think they nailed it with the bosses. Like someone mentioned, you know, our Tundra Man, who is like a robot who decided, I'm going to be an evil figure skater. That's great. It just like, it feels like every enemy here has kind of their own personality. And they've done that, you know, they did that with Mega Man 8 especially. But I feel like it really pays off here. And having the multiple phases where some of the bosses get faster, some of them get stronger, some of them change form, like it's very interesting and keeps things kind of fresh and unpredictable. And again, you know, I feel like if holistically the game worked together, you know, all of its parts came together a little more effectively, I would really love this game. But as it is, there's just like bits and pieces that I'm like, oh, this is great. This is just what I wanted. And then the rest of it's like, boy, it's not quite there. But there's potential. And I really feel like if they listen to me, Mega Man 12 will be so good. Just listen to me, Capcom.
Guys,
I know everything. I'm always right.
But don't hire Jeremy. We need him for this.
Don't hire me. Well, you can do it as a consultant. That's fine. But anyway, yeah. So that's kind of where I stand. Like, almost great, but just not there yet. But, you know, New Super Mario Brothers.
There's hope for 12.
The original New Super Mario Brothers was not great either. And I took a lot of heat for reviewing it and saying, it's not quite there. But I think people have come around to that perspective now. And, you know, I think it's easier to come around to that perspective because the follow-up games, the other New Super Mario Brothers, have gotten better and better.
And the Wii U one is the best Mario game ever.
And just imagine how good it's going to be on Switch. Jesus, like, it'll be the best game ever. Nothing will ever be that good. But, no, like, I feel like, you know, New Super Mario Brothers, the original, had that problem where it was, like, a team that hadn't really done this before kind of working in, you know, trying to figure out how do we reinvent this classic series for this style of game, for the, like, the modern conventions. And it didn't quite work the way I wanted it to with the first one, but with each iteration, they've done a better job of it, and they eventually nailed it. So
I like that comparison. This is new Mega Man.
Yeah, like if Mega Man 14 is as good as New Super Mario Brothers U, holy crap, that's going to be a hell of a game.
Thankfully, all the enemies aren't dancing.
I will die for those dancing enemies.
So sick of it.
That's a hill worth dying on. Anyway, so yes. I guess any final thoughts, or should we just do the outros? I guess we're kind of running out of time. So, Nadia, who the hell are you? Where can we find you? You have strong opinions that are positive about Mega Man 11, and that's interesting. So tell people where to find you on the internet.
You can damn hell find me on usgamer.net. I am a staff writer there, and I do a whole bunch of writing about retro games, so I kind of fit here. I'm also part of the Acts of the Blood God RPG podcast with Kat Bailey, and we post it every Monday, so please listen to that. You can find me on Twitter at Nadia Oxford, and that's all one word. And I mostly just, like, do things like lose my freaking mind when they announce things like Joker for Smash.
All right. And Bob?
Me. Hello. I'm Bob Mackey. Thanks for listening, by the way. I have two other podcasts. They're all about old cartoons. So there's Talking Simpsons. That's a chronological exploration of The Simpsons. And there's What a Cartoon. That is we look at a different cartoon from different series every week. Those are both available wherever you listen to podcasts. But if you want even more podcasts, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons. Check that out if you sign up. There's a ton of exclusive bonus podcasts that you've never heard, exclusive series, hours and hours and hours of bonus stuff. If you want to support us at that network, please do. It's great, and we love doing it. So it's Talking Simpsons and What a Cartoon. And I'm on Twitter as Bob Servo.
And finally, I'm Jeremy Parrish. You can find me on Twitter as GameSpite. I am one of the co-hosts of this here podcast, Retronauts, which, much like Bob's other podcasts, you can support through Patreon, patreon.com/retronauts. And you can also support the video projects I've been doing at patreon.com/GameSpite. just like my Twitter handle. They are all about old games, classic games, and your contributions get you early access to these things, higher bit rates, no ads, et cetera, et cetera. It's really cool. You should check it out. Retronauts can be found at retronauts.com, on YouTube, not YouTube, iTunes, that's the one, yes.
Yeah, iTunes.
That's where you can find it on the iTunes, and you can find us on Twitter and Facebook and so on and so forth. And in my spare time, I'm senior creative director at Greenlit Content, doing things that are related to video games, sometimes journalism, sometimes not. Check out the company's stuff at places like Greenlit Content on Twitter or GameDaily.biz or, I don't know, there's all sorts of stuff that I'm helping out with these days. But that's in addition to Retronauts, which continues to be my precious little baby. I will never let Retronauts go, no matter what I do with my life. So thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting us. And I apologize if we hurt your feelings with our opinions about Mega Man 11. But like I said, there's room for a turnaround. So we'll give it another shot and see if we can bring our way of thinking around more in line with Nadia. Nadia, thank you for joining us. And we'll be back in a week with another podcast.